2 Corinthians chapter 6. Glory to God. Hallelujah. 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 11. Can everybody hear me?
Yeah.
Praise God. Read it with me, please. Oh, Corinthians, we have spoken openly to you. Our heart is wide open. You are not restricted by us, but you are restricted by your own affections or desires. Own affections or what?
Desires.
That's what restricts us, isn't it? Our own desires. You know, the devil wants to shoot the fiery darts at you so that you can have this desire. Especially when you get offended. Oh man, doesn't he like to water it? I mean, you know, when somebody gets offended or something doesn't go according to the way you expected it to go or the way you wanted it to go, and the devil reminds you of it all the time. He's always shooting it at you. Always shooting it at you. That's his job, you know. He does it very well. He gets paid very well to do what he does. He's got an eternal payment. Hallelujah. He gets to cook all the stuff he wants. Amen? He's got his own barbecue, everything, man. Glory to God. You are not restricted by us, but you are restricted by your own affections or desires. Now in return for the same, I speak as to children. You also be open. Do not be what? Unequally yoked together with what? Unbelievers. For what fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness? And what communion is light with darkness? And what accord has Christ with Belial? Or what part has a believer with an unbeliever? And what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them and walk among them. I will be their God and they shall be my people. If, or therefore, you come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. And do not touch what is unclean, and I will receive you. I will be a father to you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. Now, this is very powerful, because one of the things that happened, and the devil always tries to do is yoke us. He tries to get us yoked into things. And the Bible says, do not be unevenly yoked. Now, yoke, you know, if you've ever seen anyone plowing with two oxen or something, the yoke, they put this thing around their neck and then it's usually strapped in and there's two bulls or two cows that are usually plowing or doing something. And it could be a horses, but they are yoked together. They must learn to walk together and stride and everything else. If one starts to stumble one way, it causes both of them to mess up a little bit. But it's an arena where we want to be yoked with the Lord in that area, not be unequally yoked. When there's an unequal yoke, things are not going correctly. Is everybody with me? He says, don't be unevenly yoked. Now, the word yoke here also is associated with or runs parallel with the word agreement. Because he says, don't be unevenly yoked in verse 14. And in verse 16, he says, in what agreement has the temple of God with idols? So, in other words, don't come in agreement or don't be yoked unevenly. Is everybody with me? Okay? Don't be unevenly yoked. Is everybody alright? Okay, so, we can be yoked to something that God doesn't want us to do. Is everybody with me? Oh, hallelujah. He says, now look, if there's something you must do, you must come out from among them. You must come out from being unevenly yoked and get evenly yoked. He's saying, come out, come out, come out from among them. Is everybody with me? Why? Because he doesn't want you to stay in agreement because it causes you to yoke. Do you know that when the devil says something to you and you agree with it, you become yoked with it? Amen? Spirit of ridicule? Anger, bitterness, unforgiveness. If you accept it, you become yoked with it. And now you know what? You're unevenly yoked. Because that's darkness in your life. Is everybody with me? And it is a rough road, isn't it? It's a rough road. Praise God. So he says, come out from among them and don't even touch it. Don't even touch it. You know, the Holy Spirit shared with me today that the spirit of oppression is carrying infirmity. I thought, wow. Can you imagine that? The spirit of oppression is carrying infirmity. Somebody said to me they were sick. I said, no, you're oppressed. The spirit of oppression is carrying infirmity. You know, the devil slides in any way he can. He gets you to fight something that is like a front runner of the true problem. Because he's not stupid. So what happens is when you and I yoke ourselves up, you know, how many times have you made a promise and didn't commit to it? Ooh. That means you're going to reap what you what? Sowed. And because you didn't commit to it, you became yoked, or what we would call unevenly yoked. You became yoked with darkness, which causes an uneven yoke. Be quiet. An uneven yoke. Does everybody understand it? Okay. Now listen. Let's go to... It says, don't become yoked with what? Amen? Don't become yoked with what? Unbelievers. There's a believer light and an unbeliever is what? Darkness. Is everybody with me? An unbeliever is what? Dark. An unbeliever is what?
Darkness.
Thank you. Praise God. So there are places where you and I can be yoked, isn't there? I mean, we call that the triggers of 12-step programs and stuff like that. They say things that can cause a trigger is what? People, places, and things. So you can be unevenly yoked with a person, with a place, or with a what? A thing. You can be unevenly yoked with what? A thought. It doesn't mean you're not yoked with it. You're yoked with it, but it's an unequally or unevenly yoke, isn't it? Does everybody understand that? It's the same. Hello. Praise God. We do not want to be anything. Now listen. You can be unevenly or unequally yoked with a desire. Amen. You can be unequally yoked with a job. You know, anything that there is that place where you're yoking yourself, in other words, you're grabbing hold of this, you're allowing it to run you. There's a problem. Always. And the Lord says, come out from among those things. You know how many marriages that were done when people were unevenly yoked, unequally yoked, regardless of what? Well, I married the person because I thought I could help them. They had good potential. My wife, first of all, married me because she thought I had good potential. Well, we got divorced after 8 years. There weren't that good potential. But when I got saved and delivered and healed, and the Lord brought her back, I couldn't marry her again until she was right. She had to come to the Lord and surrender her life. Other than that, and she had to get filled with the Holy Ghost before I would marry her. I don't need no carnal Christian as a wife. Hello? I had to know that her heart was totally sold out to God. Totally. And that she was willing to do whatever it took to fulfill the will of God, or I wouldn't marry her. No, I wasn't about to go training her. I had to know first where her heart was and let the Spirit of the Lord train her. Amen? Oh, hallelujah. Praise God. You and I can come in agreement with things, even soulish. Look at what soul ties do to people. Amen? How many times have you felt impressions or whatever, someone that you had a soul tie with from your past and you just couldn't shake it. Why? And you were unevenly yoked, and it kind of brings torments to this day sometimes. Well, there's an arena where you need to break that and repent for it. You need to break that. And you have the power and the authority to break that soul tie so that it's no longer yoked, even though it's an uneven or unequally yoked soul. Because it brings problems, it brings torment. Anything that is not ordained by God that you yoke yourself up with is unequally yoked. Is everybody with me? Anything that's not ordained by God that you yoke yourself up with is unequally yoked. And it will always cause a problem. Hallelujah. Praise God. Go to Galatians 4. Galatians chapter 4. Oh, hallelujah. In verse 28. Would you read it with me? Now we, brethren, as Isaac was, are children of promise. But as he who was born according to the flesh, then persecuted him who was born according to the Spirit, even so it is now. Nevertheless, what does the Scripture say? Cast out the bondwoman and her son, for the son of the bondwoman shall not be heir with the son of the free woman. So then, brethren, we are not children of the bondwoman, but of the free. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty by which Christ has made us free, and do not be entangled again with the yoke of what? Every time you are unequally yoked, there is bondage. It always brings bondage. Do you ever notice in certain situations you try to force things? Well, you don't even realize you're forcing it. You're trying to cause something to happen, and the next thing you pick it up, you become yoked with something, and it's nothing but a problem, man. And you're like, man, how did I get involved in this? You know, like that car? know, or whatever it was, you know, that piece of equipment, whatever it may be, that you're like, man, I shouldn't have bought that. God was trying to make a way of escape for me, and I just forced it. And you became yoked with it. You know what happens now? Man, you got to take care of it, repair it, keep it up, do this, do that. I mean, it's nothing but a headache. Hello? The yoke of bondage. That's what it is. It's called the yoke of bondage. But you know, you and I have a choice. We can either be yoked in bondage or yoked in freedom. And we want freedom. We want freedom. And what the devil's trying to do is yoke the people of God to an arena to where there is bondage, where there is fear, where there is sickness, where there is bitterness, where there is anger. He's trying to yoke us into these arenas so that we become unequally yoked. And it brings torment and darkness. Oh, hallelujah. Go to Deuteronomy 28. Oh, the name of this teaching is Easy Yoke. Easy Yoke. Deuteronomy 28. Hallelujah. Deuteronomy 28, verse 47. Praise be to Scripture can. Holy Spirit's starting to bring some revelation to you about some things you're yoked to that you shouldn't be. Would you read it with me? This is powerful. Because you did not serve the Lord your God with what? With what? Because, verse 47, everybody read it. Because you did not serve the Lord your God with joy and gladness of heart for the abundance of everything that He's done, therefore you shall serve your enemies, whom the Lord will send against you in hunger, in thirst, in nakedness, in need of everything, and He will put a yoke of iron on your neck until He has destroyed you. Ouch. Ouch. Man, you go further on this thing and it is intense. You read the rest of this. It's intense on what happened when He put this yoke of iron on them because they did not serve the Lord their God in vain and with joy and gladness. And you know why? They were not appreciative of what He had done. They did not have the attitude of gratitude. They kept looking and grumbling and complaining, not looking at what He had done, but looking at what He hadn't done yet. And He said, because you serve the Lord, basically you serve the Lord in vain. Amen? I'm going to put a yoke on you. Every time you move out of the position of walking in the Spirit, which is serving the Lord in joy, when you move out of walking, you become the enemy's servant. Does everybody understand that? And what happens is you yoke yourself up. You allow that to happen. You become the enemy servant, and you don't even know it. You become unequally yoked. People wonder why things aren't happening yet. Because they've become unequally yoked with a bad attitude, with accursed items. Well, I can't let that go. That was a hand-me-down. That's unequally yoked. You know, when you begin to really search out the things that the devil loves to yoke you to, so he can cause torment to your life and try to get you off course. Remember, we talked about the yoke about two animals that walk together. So there's that struggle. When you become yoked with darkness, darkness is going to start to pull you off stride. It's going to start to torment you. People get yoked with ungodly music. And it's difficult. But that's called unequally yoked. Because the devil's trying to yoke you with any darkness he can. Everybody all right? So the yoke of bondage brings destruction. Health. Brings destruction to your body. Brings destruction to your finances and brings destruction to your relationships. That's what the yoke of bondage does. The yoke of bondage is telling you that you are yoked with something the devil has put in your path. Matthew 11. Hallelujah. Matthew chapter 11. All praise be to God. And verse 28, would you read it with me? Matthew 11, verse 28. Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden. Oh, wait a minute now. Heavy laden, spirit of what? Oppression. Think it's any coincidence the Lord was explaining to me about the spirit of oppression bringing infirmity? No. No. Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you what? I'll give you a rest. I'll give you a break. We always go, man, give me a break. He says, come on, I'll give you a break. I'll break that yoke. Oh, but you kidding? I love those cigarettes. Yoke. Oh, I like looking at those opposite sexes and causing sin to my eyes. Oh, I like pride. It's unequally yoked. Oh, I like anything in the world. So do not be a friend of the world, right? Amen. Oh, he's causing his children to come out, and come out. So that you can say, come out. Verse 29. He says, take my yoke upon you and what? Learn. Remember I shared with you before, freedom is what? Learn. But you better learn it from the right one. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is what? Easy yoke. And my burden is what? Oh man, you know how many times people love to pick up burdens? They feel if there isn't a burden that they're it's called self-martyrism or self-suffering. They love to pick up people's burdens so they can be miserable. And they think they're doing it for God. Well, that's just plumb crazy. That's called the spirit of oppression, which brings what? Infirmity. Do you ever notice that when you begin to be oppressed, you feel miserable? And the first thought comes to your mind is, man, I feel sick. We should say, I feel crazy. Because he's messing with your head. Oh. My yoke is easy and my burden is light. Yoke with Christ and learn. This yoke is easy. It's not burdensome or worrisome. Freedom is learned and trust is earned. Go to 2 Kings chapter 2. Oh, hallelujah. 2 Kings chapter 2. Second Kings chapter 2 and verse 1. How many of y'all want to be yoked to Jesus? Amen. You know, the anointing of the devil is trying to break that yoke between you and Jesus. Hello? And the devil has an anointing, you know. Or else he wouldn't be able to do the things he does. God has granted him power. He's granted him power to do things. He'll yoke us to lust. He'll yoke us to the love of the world. He'll yoke us. He likes yoking us to self. Is associated with selfishness and greed and pride and everything else. In verse 1 it says, and it came to pass when the Lord was about to take up Elijah into heaven by a whirlwind that Elijah went with Elijah from Gilgal. And Elijah said to Elijah, stay here, please, for the Lord has sent me unto Bethel. But Elisha said, as the Lord lives and as your soul lives, I will not leave you. Elisha was yoked with Elijah. And he was yoked with the anointing. So they went on to Bethel. And the sons of the prophets who were at Bethel came out to Elisha and said, do you know that the Lord will take away your master from over you today? And he said, yes, I know. Keep silent. Who do you think was tormenting him? Amen. What was he trying to do? Trying to break the yoke, wasn't he? So what did Elijah say? Be quiet. Surprised he didn't say, shut up and come out, but he didn't. Then Elijah said to him, Elisha, stay here, please, for the Lord has sent me onto Jericho. But he said, as the Lord lives and as your soul lives, I will not leave you. So they came to Jericho. Now the sons of the prophets who were at Jericho came out to Elisha and said to him, do you know that the Lord will take away your master from over you today? And he said, and he answered and said, yes, I know. Keep silent. Well, the devil doesn't give up. What were they trying to do? Put fear. Trying to move him out of position. We see many people move out of position. You know, one of the greatest blessings comes is when the greatest fight is. And Elijah said to him, stay here, please, for the Lord has sent me onto the Jordan. But he said, as the Lord lives and as your soul lives, I will not leave you. So the two of them went on. And 50 men of the sons of the prophets went and stood facing them at a distance while the two of them stood by the Jordan. Now Elijah took his mantle, rolled it up, and struck the water, and as it was divided this way and that, so that the two of them crossed over on dry ground. So it was when they crossed over that Elijah said to Elijah, ask, oh, you grab hold and don't let go. And Jesus can turn around to you and say, ask. Ask, it's time. Okay, I've seen what you've done. All right? You haven't let go. You stay yoked to my presence. Now ask. What is it? Oh, hallelujah. What may I do for you before I am taken away from you? Elisha said, please let a double portion of your spirit be upon me. So he said, you have asked a hard thing. Nevertheless, if you see me when I am taken from you, it shall be so for you. But if not, it shall not be. So he gave him an alternative. He said, listen, you've got to watch me all the way and must stay yoked. Nothing could interfere, even as I'm being taken from you. Then it happened as they were continued on and talked, and suddenly a chariot of fire appeared with the horses of fire and separated the two of them. And Elijah went up by the whirlwind into heaven. And Elijah saw it. And he cried out, my father, the chariot of Israel and its horsemen. So he saw him no more. And he took hold of his own clothes and tore them into two pieces. And he also took up the mantle of Elijah that had what? Fallen from him. I told you the anointing is what? Caught. It's not taught. It's caught. And he went back and stood by the bank of the Jordan, and he took the mantle of Elijah that had fallen from him and struck the water. And he said, where is the Lord God of Elijah? And when he had also struck the water, it was divided this way and that way, and Elijah crossed over. When he crossed over, there was a whole nother realm waiting for him. Why? Because he stayed yoked to the anointing. Is everybody with me? Oh, hallelujah. Go to Isaiah chapter 10. We need to be unyoked with the bondage of religiosity, self, anger and bitterness and so forth. And we need to stay yoked to the anointing. Isaiah chapter 10. And verse 27. Would you read it with me, please? Isaiah chapter 10 and verse 27. glorious. It shall come to pass in that day that his burden will be taken away from your shoulder and his yoke from your neck, and the yoke will be destroyed because of the what? Anointing oil. This is where the anointing breaks the yoke. You know, it's like we share with people about speaking a deliverance prayer multiple times. Sometimes things don't get broke the first hit. When you go to chop a tree down, it doesn't come down the first hit of the axe. Sometimes it takes some chopping. Sometimes the treasure isn't found on the surface. You have to dig for it. It takes some work. But the devil's always going to try to get you to quit. He's going to try to get you to wimp out and get yoked up to something more simpler. And that's how people miss God. With reasoning. And they'll begin to, you know, people can be yoked with their past, which is unequally yoked. And that's when the devil tells you, man, do you remember what you used to do? I mean, you know, man, it was a lot easier before I was a believer. Oh. I mean, now this fight is not outward, it's inward. Because you can't fight what you can't see. Hallelujah. People get unequally yoked in the areas of whether it be a job, whether it be a material, no matter what it is. Whether it be a thought, no matter what it is, people can be yoked with darkness that brings torment. Where there's fear, you're yoked. Even a corruptible seed can lead you astray. Is everybody with me? But the anointing of the Holy Spirit will break these yokes as long as you hold on. The Bible says, stir yourself up and grab hold of God. God doesn't have to stir himself up and grab hold of you. We must stir ourselves up and grab hold of God. People become business partners and stuff who become unequally yoked. Find trouble down the road. Amen? I've heard of businesses falling all the time. One was a believer, one wasn't. Or somebody becomes a believer while they're still in business. That makes it a little bit difficult. Look at what happened with husbands and wives. One becomes a believer where they're both unbelievers, and all of a sudden one becomes a believer. It makes it a little bit difficult until they're equally yoked. Amen? Because then they have the same vision. Same vision. See, we come into congregations and churches. Some people are in places that they're unequally yoked. See, by being equally yoked, you share the same vision. Is everybody with me? We should be sharing the same vision, what makes us equally yoked. If you're not in for the same vision, then you're unequally yoked. Of course, our main purpose is to rescue, isn't it? We're to be witnesses. Jesus said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me to bring freedom to those who are captive or oppressed by the devil. But we want to be equally yoked with the anointing, which breaks every yoke of bondage. Is everybody with me? Oh, hallelujah. Go to 1 Peter chapter 5. Jesus' yoke is easy. If you're yoked to the anointing, it's easy. It doesn't mean that you're not going to have trials and tribulations. It does not mean that things aren't going to happen. It does not mean that you will not be afflicted. But it means you won't let go. Did you ever see a water skier? You know? Did you ever try water skiing? You know, when you're trying to get up, first time you've ever tried to water ski? You know? He says, don't let go of the rope. Right? And you don't let go, the skis start flying everywhere and your head's bouncing off the water, you know. Finally you realize you gotta let go, you're gonna die. Sometimes that's what the, you know, that's like what we want to be yoked to the Lord. Sometimes the devil's gonna come in every way until you finally learn how to ski. Then you become equally yoked. Then you can slalom, you know. I like it with that ice age. Slalom, baby! He goes flying all over the place. Oh, but you ever want to see the ice age? Good flick. Great animation. 1 Peter chapter 5. Okay. Back to Bible study. And verse 6. Therefore what? Humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God that he may what? Exalt you in due time. Casting all your what? Casting all your what? How about burdens? Yeah. How about your burdens? How about those burdens you have no responsibility picking up or even going to? Why, who, when, where? It's none of your business. He's the God of now, not the God of this. Hello? He's the God of now. Or are you with him right now? Now the devil tries to move you all over the place. Oh man, if I would have done this with this, and if I would have done, did you learn something? I blew it. Where were you with God right now? See, what the devil wants to do is yoke you with everywhere else but now. Does everybody understand that? He wants to maneuver you and manipulate you so that you can look at everything else but where you are with God right now. And if you're yoked with him right now, then there's joy. There's peace. There's not fear. There's not worry. You're not caught up in your affliction, your circumstance, or things that happen around you. Because you know what? You know between you and him that what you're doing is pleasing him and you're yoked with him, and praise be to God. But if you're doing things that are not pleasing with him, it gives you an opportunity to recognize that and repent and get yoked. Amen? Yoked. Cast those cares upon him, for he cares for you. Those are burdens. You know, the devil has some false burdens. People will mourn for months after somebody departed. It's a false burden. I miss a lot of people that have passed away. I love them dearly. But for me to hang out in that arena is going to yoke me up with some spirit of oppression. And I don't want to go there. Because I'm walking with the God of now. Is everybody with me? Do you understand that? The devil wants to yoke you till you become unequally yoked. He says what? Verse 8, be sober. In other words, keep sensitive. Keep looking. Don't get stupid. Be sober, be vigilant, don't give up, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion seeking whom he can yoke. Resist him, steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. Everybody goes through it. You're not the only one. Woe is me. I'm the only one. Now you're yoked. You just got yoked and yoke was me. Oh, hallelujah. Don't be yoked with the world. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Is everybody okay? His yoke is easy and his burden is light. Anything that's not easy nor light is not God.
Now, I didn't say difficult. Sometimes things are a little rough, aren't they? You know, but God's going to test you. But there should always be peace. There should always be joy. There shouldn't be condemnation or guilt. Or it should be yoked with something, and it's not light. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, and verse 16. Is everybody there? Would you read it with me? Therefore, from now on, we regard no one according to the flesh, even though we have known Christ according to the flesh, yet now we know him thus no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a what? He's a new creation. All things have what? Passed away. Behold, all things have become what? New. Like I said, the devil always wants to yoke you to your past. He wants to yoke you to those old relationships that were ungodly. He wants to yoke you with places, things. He wants to yoke you with those things. He always wants to tell you of things of your past to bring in the yoke of oppression or fear, which is bondage. And it's called unequally yoked. Why? Because you're to be yoked to the anointing. We're to be yoked to the anointing. You know how many times the devil moves somebody out of position whom God had them yoked to? Even in bringing up, unless God is removing you from a place of ministry, another, let me share this with you. Unless you share the vision of the ministry, you will not fulfill your ministry. Hello? Why? Because you first must sow before you can reap. You must assist in fulfilling the vision of a ministry that's yoking yourself before your ministry can begin. Your vision. Or you'll go around like a wanderer. You'll look, you'll be a vagabond from church to church. Until you have assisted in fulfilling the vision that God has placed you. Is everybody all right?
Hallelujah.
Oh, hallelujah. Don't be yoked with the past or present with sin. Oh, to God be the glory. I can't go any further on that part, but let's go to Ephesians 4. Ephesians chapter 4. And verse 17. Would you read it with me, please? This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk, in the futility of their mind, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God, because of the ignorance that is in them, and because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over to lewdness, to work all uncleanness with greediness. But you have not so learned Christ. Wow. You have not so learned Christ. You have not yet yoked yourself completely to the Lord so that you can learn. That's what the Bible says, always learning, 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 and never coming to the truth. Because they've never yoked themselves. They've never assisted in fulfilling the vision or yoked themselves to the vision. If indeed you had heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning your formal conduct. like me, myself, and I. The old man which grows corrupt according to deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, that you put on the new man which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. Therefore put away lying, let each one of you speak truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. Be angry, but don't sin. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath, nor give place to the devil. In other words, be yoked to the devil, right? Let him who stole steal no longer, but rather let him labor, working with his hands, what is good, that he may have something to give to him who is in need. Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth. These are things that cause another yoke of bondage. But what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God. It grieves the Holy Spirit of God when you yoke yourself up with the devil. By whom you were sealed for the day of redemption, let all what? Bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice, but be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. So we're to be yoked to the Anointed One and His anointing, and where the anointing or the Spirit of the Lord is, there's freedom. See, this is where revelation comes. This is where understanding comes. Because when you're really yoked to the Lord, the anointing teaches you. Help me, Lord. The anointing confirms and teaches you what's right and what's not. You'll know. Go to 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2. Just like Elijah was anointed to Elijah, he was yoked, wasn't he? He's anointed. Came right down. He was yoked to the anointing. He caught the anointing. He was freed. The devil tried to get him out of position every time. You know, he went to these other prophets and all the other places where he went. And these were people of God. They thought what they were saying to Elijah was correct, which it was correct, but they didn't realize that there was someone else utilizing that to try to steer him off or yoke him up to fear or oppression. In 1 John and in chapter 2, in verse 20. Is everybody there? Would you read it with me, please? 1 John chapter 2 and verse 20. But you have an anointing from the Holy One in you what? Well, if you are yoked to the anointing, you will know all things. All things pertaining to you now. Because He is the God of now. Amen? Go to verse 27. But the anointing which you have received from Him abides in you, and you do not need that anyone teach you. But as the same anointing teaches you concerning all things, and is true, and is not a lie, and just as it has taught you, you will abide in Him. That's yoking yourself, man. That's yoking yourself. And you know, today we went to go look at a trailer. The trailer looked good. The price was fair. According to the eyes, it says we should get this. I didn't have a settling in my spirit. And I said, I waited on the Lord, and I said, Lord, in my spirit, if this isn't you, you make the way of escape. Now, everything looked good, but I just did not have a peace in my spirit. And it was like I was hearing Him say, it's not time yet. So I said, Lord, if I'm not doing the right thing, then you make a way of escape. So the man says, so we talked a little bit, so I pulled out a check. And he says, I want cash. I looked at Dean and said, let's get out of here.
no way you're going to cash a corporate check. And I was about to hunt around to go and try and find cash when God was making a way of escape for me. And I just thanked him. See, if you yoke yourself to the anointing, you'll know all things. You won't go by what you think you need, because he does exceedingly abundantly far above all we can ever ask or think, and he knows our needs already, doesn't he? I remember one time out, we were, I was like, you know, Lord, we could really use this projector. We were doing an outreach. Man, we could really use this projector. Because we were doing outreaches and we were showing cartoons and movies and so forth. And it was like, man, we could really use this outreach. I mean, this projector. So we got this money together and went out and bought a projector. 2 weeks later, somebody donated one to us. I'm like, oh, man. I learned my lesson. I was repentant. Forgive me, Lord, for not waiting on you. Not waiting on you. We must be yoked to the anointing. He says, listen, if you are yoked, if you're abiding in that anointing, you know all things, and you won't need man to teach you. You'll know when things aren't right. You won't go by what you see or what you need. You'll know in your spirit something's not right. You may not be able to pinpoint it sometimes, you know, but you'll know. And that's where you have to lean and trust in him. Lean and trust right on him. Grab hold of him. You know, look at how John, how close he was to Jesus. He yoked himself to the anointing. And what happened to him? He wrote the book of Revelation. Think about that. He abided in that area. He yoked himself to the anointing. And you'll know all things. Anything that's causing you to run, be unequally yoked somewhere else is going to hinder you from seeing and hearing. Amen? Praise God. Go to Philippians 4. Hallelujah. Praise be to God. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 9. See, the anointing teaches you. The anointing is caught and he teaches you. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 9. The things which you learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do, and the God of peace will what? Be with you. But I rejoice in the Lord greatly that now at last your care for me has flourished again, though you surely did care, but you lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in regard to need, for I have learned in whatever state I am to be what? Oh, to God be the glory. To be what? Content. Let me tell you, when you are yoked to the anointing, you're content. I know how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things. I have learned both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do what? All things through what? Christ. Christ meaning what? Anointing. I can do all things through the anointing that strengthens me. Oh, we need to be yoked to the anointing.
That's why Jesus said, my yoke is easy. Learn from me. 1 Timothy chapter 6. Jesus said, do not be unequally yoked, but come out, come away. Don't be a man pleaser, be a God pleaser. In verse 3, would you read it with me? If anyone teaches otherwise and does not consent to wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine which accords with godliness, he is what? He's proud. Knowing nothing, but is obsessed with disputes and arguments over words, from which come envy, strife, reveling, evil suspicions, unless are useless wranglings of men of corrupt minds and destitute of truth, who suppose that godliness is a means of gain. From such, what? Withdraw yourself. In other words, do not yoke yourself with that. Now, godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and clothing with these, we shall be content. But those who desire to be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and harmful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil, for which some have strayed from the faith in their greediness, and pierce themselves through with many sorrows. But you, O man of God or woman of God, flee. So he said, withdraw yourself from a person. Now he's saying, flee these things and pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, and gentleness. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, to which you were also called and have confessed the good confession in the presence of many witnesses. Oh, hallelujah. Go to 2 Corinthians 11. Everybody okay? Praise be to God. Easy yoke. Second Corinthians 11. Everybody there? Verses 1 through 3. Would you read it with me? Oh, that you would bear with me a little folly. And indeed you do bear with me. For I am jealous for you with godly jealousy. For I have betrothed you to one husband. And that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. But I fear lest somehow, as the serpent deceived Eve by his craftiness, so your mind may be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. You know, there is a simplicity of Christ. He said, cast your cares on me. Loose yourself from those burdens. Grab hold of me. Yoke yourself with me. Learn from me. And you're going to have rest. It's that peaceful. It's that simple. But we have a tendency to stray from that and yoke ourselves up with stress, anxiety, and fear. The I gotta. For if he who comes preaches another Jesus whom we have not preached, or if you received a different spirit or yoked yourself with a different spirit, which you have not received, or a different gospel which you have not accepted, you may well put up with it. How long? Now, there's a time and place for everything. But if you're truly yoked to the anointing, there are things that are going to come against you that you're going to be able to put up with. Because you know it's not going to affect you. See, the problem is when things are, when the devil starts throwing stuff and whatever, and you're not yoked to the anointing, they're going to bother you. That's what he's saying. Man, you can put up with some of this stuff. If you're truly yoked to the anointing, these things are not going to affect you. You will not be moved. Does everybody understand that? You won't be moved if you're really yoked to the anointing. You won't be moved. You'll go forward. Oh, hallelujah. The simplicity of Christ. Simplicity of the anointing, and turn to Titus chapter 3. Claudius, and we'll close here. Titus 3. Verse 3. For we ourselves were also once foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving various lusts and yoking ourselves up with the powers of darkness, and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. But when the kindness and the love of God, our Savior, toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us to the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the what? Or the what? Anointing. Whom He poured out on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that having been justified by His grace, we should become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. This is a faithful saying, and these things I want you to affirm constantly. That those who have believed in God should be careful to maintain good works. These things are good and profitable to men. But avoid foolish disputes, genealogies, contentions, and striving about the law, for they are unprofitable and useless. Hallelujah. His yoke is really easy. And there's a simplicity in His yoke. But first you must yoke yourself to the anointing and get unyoked of all the unequally yoked things that we yoke ourselves to. Amen? And those burdens and those lies, you know, even strongholds with our memory lies are yokes in our life. They're yokes. Sever ourselves from these yokes. See, if you yoke yourself to the anointing, everything is going to come to light. Everything starts coming up to the surface. Everything starts coming. That's why, did you ever notice that when you first got here, things, next thing you know, God is beginning to deal with you more and more and more. Why? Because you've yoked yourself to the anointing. And when you've yoked yourself to the anointing, He begins to move quickly. And things start coming to the surface more and more. Because the anointing is destroying the yoke of bondage. But you have that choice also. You have that choice to either let go of that bondage or stay yoked to it. That's your choice. I'd rather stay yoked. The anointing. Because where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's freedom. Amen. Father, we thank You for Your word tonight. We honor You and we bless Your holy name. And Lord, anywhere where we've been yoked, and we've been foolish, arrogant, or prideful, or bitterness, and been caught up in ridicule, or any of those areas, Lord, we repent. And we ask that Your anointing will break the yoke of bondage. And we ask that You would yoke us to the Anointed One. And His anointing in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen? Amen. Praise God. Give the Lord a hand.